Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K of me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, this show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history. Better listen to Chad. They're rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition, too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsi.
Stop! When this hand goes up, your mouths go shut, people. Welcome back to the longest running podcast for wrestling there is in the internet right here. Perfect Plex Talk Radio, part of the BDSIR Radio Networks. We are simulcast right now, live on Facebook Live and also live in your radio podcasts, wherever you're on Blog Talk Radio. 347-637-3859 is the number to call and have a voice with the voice for the voiceless. Yours truly, Mike Knox. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, wherever social media is sold with three X's, because frankly, like 2019 and 2020, which is next year. Oh yeah, you know that tap video come out for Michael Jordan, the GOAT. Yeah, yours truly, Mike Knox. I'm hardcore. And I'm about to be the GOAT of this damn wrestling podcast. Shit, the way it's supposed to be, only right here. So listen, let's get in. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Elimination Chamber today. Let's talk about the week there is in pro wrestling. A lot of things have been taking place. A lot of things have been happening actually out there as well. So I want to talk about that. I want to get into that as well. We got all the situation going on with Becky Lynch. What happened with her this past week on Raw and SmackDown? Her being suspended for 60 days. Where does that leave us right now in the pantheon of the road to WrestleMania? Also, already believe, because you know, I don't know about you guys, but I know for a fact that every Black History Month is when WWE tries to give a black wrestler a little bit of a push. So do we read into what happened with Kofi Kingston this past Tuesday night? Or is it just what it was this past Tuesday night on SmackDown? I don't want to believe what they're making me believe, which is there's nothing. I want to believe there's more to Kofi Kingston. I want to talk about that also today. They keep saying the first time ever women's WWE champions. That's not true. This won't be the first time. It'll be the first time in about 20, 30 years, about 30 years or more. Okay, so tonight we crown new women tag team champions of the world. And I'm going to tell you who I think that's going to be. We're going to break down Elimination Chamber, the goods, the bads, and all the ugly. And you listen, you don't want to look in the mirror, so you already know you're ugly or not, so that's on you. But welcome to the program, back from the first state. Hey, yo, people, we don't know what that is. That's where we don't have no tax shopping and all your credit cards come through there. Yeah, that's where that guy is at. What's going on, Dice Man?
What up, what up, what up, man? I'm ready to get into it. We almost to WrestleMania, man, and this is the last attempt that they can get whatever right, so I'm ready to talk about it.
Well, they got more than one right to get right because they still have Fastlane, right? Now, I forgot about Fastlane actually this week. So there's another pay-per-view. Yeah, yeah. Fastlane is stuck between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. But I'm going to tell you why, Dice. For once, I actually think it's a good idea to have because it's not going the way we thought it was going to go. It's going exactly the way we thought it would go as far as once they came back and said, we're going to change things. They ain't changed shit, right? Little things, little tweaks here and there, to be honest. They've done some tweaking. But what I've seen to be more hands-on has been the McMahon family putting their imprint, you know, back on the company in every single facet of the company. So that's another story. But the story I do like is the Fastlane pay-per-view being cut in there with a limited change, because it's going to give room for some of these stories they're trying to build. They have to makeshift build also with the news of a hashtag I am a Dean Ambrose guy leaving the company, quote unquote. I'm still not on board with that. Hey, listen, you already know I've been called the apologist. I've been called the fan. I've been called the mark. You know, I've been called everything but a man who don't have a sexy wife about WWE. And I think there's no way I'm supposed to believe a company that we see spots, and I'm not talking about a dog named spot or my spot or spot over there on the floor or a spot in your head, okay, or a liver spot, you know, dog spot. Oh, no, man, I think it's one of the greatest things of all time I saw on Monday Night Raw, okay, with Kevin Nash and them. I'll always say that. But, no, seriously, this gives them a chance to make the wrong, Dice. They can fix these things. You're losing Dean Ambrose and how that's going to go, allegedly. And again, as I'm saying, I don't think Dean Ambrose is gone from the company. I've seen too many things to tell me other. What are they going to tell us that he's leaving? Why are they going to tell us that we haven't come to contract agreement? They've never done that before. They've never – I've seen a video. It was like a goodbye video to Dean Ambrose. Google it. YouTube it, guys. It's out there. I've seen this video where it's like a goodbye video to Dean Ambrose. Like, why? What is that coming from?
Is it quality control?
I don't know, what it is. Well, it was a good quality video. But no damn iPhone. Well, iPhones do amazing things. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying. But it was like professionally done.
No. I mean, quality control as in, you know, the story had leaked out, so was WWE just, you know, going ahead and let's go ahead and just get it out there, and then, you know, so we can save face, per se. But for them to, you know, kind of say it already, I mean, I still think there's time. If there's a money issue with Dean, I still think there's lots of time for them to get that squared away. But the general consensus and the rumors are he wasn't happy with the way his character was in the past year, and honestly, in the past 3 months, I've liked Dean Ambrose a lot more as this cocky, narcissist type guy.
I like that Dean Ambrose myself. You know, I'm a Dean Ambrose guy, so for me, it's not much wrong he can actually do. All right, what's going on, Vinny P? What's going on about it on Facebook, checking in? I don't think there's nothing Dean Ambrose can't do right. And I know people say, well, he's this lunatic fringe, but they don't have him acting or playing that role. I do see those things. See, here's my thing. Certain guys like Dean Ambrose, certain guys like Roman, certain guys like Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, these guys can take chicken shit and make chicken salad. And I think Dean Ambrose is one of those guys. Not only did he make chicken salad from it, he gave me, you know, shit, Parmesan chicken from the chicken shit they gave him. Okay? So I think he's made the most of it, and I liked where the gimmick I thought was going. And then they had him losing in a couple of weeks to your boy, EC3, who's made his appearance, but then now look what happened recently. He had just recently beaten EC3. So I don't know what's going on with them and Daniel Dean Ambrose. Excuse me, my microphone fell on the floor. Not microphone, the cord. I rolled over the cord. This cord is like, why do you give me a cord so goddamn long? It's like 10 feet of cord. I don't need that much cord. I'm going to get a different cord here. But I don't like that. But let's get Toph in here as well. Toph's going to join the program today. What's going on, Toph?
Hey, what's up, Knox? Man, I've been on your show. I haven't been there for a long time. So when I saw you as a host and figured out, just, you know, call in, try to support you. You know, I always enjoyed your show, man. What's going on?
What's going on, brother? How you enjoying that Jump Force? Did you get Jump Force?
Yeah, you still but, you know, I finished Kingdom Hearts 3 last week. I'm playing Jump Force today as well, but right now I'm just trying to catch up on Gotham. You know, I don't know if you've been keeping up on that as well.
Of course. You know I keep up on my Gotham, baby. Wait till you find out what happened. I watched this past week episode, you know, they brought Lee back. So I'm going to start Gotham over right now. I'm on season 9 of Smallville, so I'm pushing through these Smallville episodes. So
How are you still watching that?
It's easy. I come home, it's a routine. I get off work, I come home and do the same thing, I get in the shower and stuff. So as I get out the shower, I turn it on and I watch an episode or two. So I get ready for dinner, and from there I have the rest of my night. But I get an episode a day, or at least two episodes in a day, no matter what.
And that's how, and I like it. I fell in love with it more this time around than I did the first time. Because the first time I had my complaints and were bitching about why he's not Superman by now and things like that. You know what I mean? And why they bring it, just all kind of stuff you complain about. But now I'm just looking at it, so, you know, I'm going to enjoy it for what it is. And I'm more mature, as they say, as you get older. But speaking of maturity, the WWE is one of them companies that's old as hell, right? But people are afraid they're losing touch on reality, on the business and pro wrestling. So before we get into this Elimination Chamber, Dice Man and Toph, myself, I want to ask you guys this, because a lot of speculation, a lot of talk, Dean Ambrose, where is he going? Now you're hearing talks of Randy Orton is in talks with a company like AEW and things like that. And I just want people out there to understand that AEW has not started yet. I'm not in no way putting this company down. The excitement should be there to give us something new, something fresh, something that we are led to believe is going to be for us, by us, kind of like FUBU. But you know what happened once it wasn't for us, by us anymore, right? Okay, let's just leave it right there. So we need AEW to be this company. Can they be this company? But they're not a number two, guys. Dice, they're not a number two. They're like four. WWE still 1, 2, 3, and possibly even 4, in my opinion. And then, you know, New Japan, which I watch sporadically, you know, AEW will get my attention because it's an American-based company more than New Japan will be. I've lost love or any trust, shall I say, rather, that's a better word. I lost any trust for Impact Wrestling or TNA. That's gone out the window. And Ring of Honor, to me, just it's. We talk about growth and maturity. I don't think Ring of Honor has matured over the years. It stays what it is and what it is, not taking nothing from the talent that's there. It just doesn't grow for me. But when you're looking at the landscape, when we're talking about Double or Nothing selling out in what? What's this one? Was 4 minutes, something like that? Some crazy number, another 30-minute sellout, 10-minute sellout that Double or Nothing has sold out for in MGM. And shout out to KME, one of our in the wrestling council, wrestling page we're a part of who had this to say in reference to this is partly WWE's fault that this arena, these guys can sell out in such a short period of time. Undertaker, if you haven't heard, The Undertaker is going to be at Simulcast 2. This is the first non-WWE event this man has ever been a part of. Outside of, let's say, I'm sorry when I say that, I mean like not appearances like the NBA and stuff like that, where he's still The Undertaker. This is the first time that he will not be part of WWE. And just so everybody know that Simulcast is not directly affiliated with AEW, but they're there like any other radio outlet, podcast network would want to be. So I'm going to start with you, Dice Man. AEW, will it be what fans want it to be, or should fans just, you know, maybe put the brakes on a little bit and let it, you know, birth itself?
It's a hard question, but it's also a simple question at the same time. Like, it's something that whatever AEW is going to bring us, if fans just pay attention, you're already getting that in Ring of Honor. You're already getting it in New Japan Wrestling. And to some aspects, you're getting it in Impact. But it's the fact of most fans don't know what they want when they want it. It's, you know, the old cliche of, you know, not the superhero that we wanted at the time that we wanted, but it's the superhero that we needed in the time of need. Like, you don't know that you want that, or you didn't know that you needed it, but when it happens, it's something great. You know what I'm saying? Like, me, I've not, you know, I haven't been, like, a super huge Shield fan, but then when they had that moment when they started to, you know, get back together, I marked out and didn't believe that, like, I actually did like the Shield. So I think that fans just need to let it, you know, be what it is, and then make an assumption. Like, they're assuming automatically that because Cody did great things aside from WWE, that automatically this is going to be the new hotness. And it's just the flavor of the month. You know what I'm saying? WWE is the end all to be all, point game, period. Like, it that's it. They are, you know, the top of the food chain, and there's nobody who's going to touch them. It doesn't matter how much money is getting behind them. And which I heard the guy who owns the Jaguars is in on this.
Mm-hmm.
He's got mad money. Like,
he's
up there with the money. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. So, but let me ask you this. Is that maybe underselling AEW and thinking, because I'm with you on that, but I want to play the role of where you went. And that was, I think AEW will be what we want it to be. But I don't want to do what wrestling fans do okay? And I'm going to cross-reference this later into my conversation about Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey and Charlotte and so forth. And that's all of a sudden just give them everything and don't make them work. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want them to go out there, because some of the stuff that Ring of Honor has done, some of the stuff that New Japan has done, that's trash, doesn't get trashed. I go back to the dicks at Wrestle Kingdom. Sorry, guys. Are we as men supposed to be excited about a bunch of other men grabbing dicks? But you may find a Chicago cousin here dick bumping.
You mean All In, right? With Joey Ryan.
All In, I'm sorry. Sorry, okay. Joey Ryan's All In. Thank you. Okay, thank you for not taking a Wrestle Kingdom. I appreciate that. But you get my point. Like, why are we accepting that? Why is that okay? But things like that, Toph, your take.
Yeah, I just think that AEW just needs to do its own thing. Back in the day, man, it's been a long time. It's like 2019 now.
Right.
At the end of 2009, you know, I thought TNA was doing good after the whole Main Event Mafia thing blew over. And I mean, they weren't like the best company, but they were doing all right. And then when Hogan and Bischoff came in, they got rid of everything that made TNA TNA, and they made it WWE light, and it was never really the same. So as long as AEW just does its own thing, like Ring of Honor and New Japan does their own thing, it'll be fine. I think that the popularity of All In and Double or Nothing selling out that quickly, I think more than anything, that just shows that fans are just hungry for an alternative. It shows that WWE is not scratching that itch that it used to scratch on all cylinders, and when fans can't get that itch scratched, they will look elsewhere for it. So if anything, I just think the whole AEW thing is just proof that fans are looking for an alternative. I think that WWE is nervous, and you can tell that they're nervous. They're not scared, but they are nervous. And the thing that really kind of stood out to me is things are kind of settling down now since they're in the road to WrestleMania. But like in the very beginning of 2019, you could tell WWE was nervous because there was a plethora of talent that they haven't really been using at all. And suddenly they're getting like used a lot. Like the three things that stood out to me was Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. You're right. Yeah, they're starting to use Apollo. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, who originally were a tag team, you know, with Edge, you know, back in the La Familia days. And Ryder and Hawkins have been in WWE for years. And for many years, fans have been like, why don't you guys just make them a team again? WWE wouldn't do it. And then when AEW, when they did a press conference and the Young Bucks talk about the importance of tag team wrestling and how tag team wrestling can be a draw, all of a sudden, Ryder and Hawkins are teaming again. Another one, Almas. I liked him. You know, he was in NXT, had a great run. He got caught up to the main roster, didn't have a good run, didn't have a bad run. He was just kind of there. AEW becomes a thing. Next thing you know, he's having really great matches with Rey Mysterio every week. And the biggest one that really stands out to me is the Revival and Sasha Banks. Revival pretty much had been – I mean, first of all, Revival had bad luck. It's not all WWE. They kept getting hurt. Then when they both got healed up, they were just kind of like not being used. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, when AEW gets confirmed, they're in contentionship for the tag team championships. And then Sasha Banks really being the one that really stands out. Sasha and Bayley did absolutely nothing for all of 2018, basically just took a backseat that whole calendar year. And then suddenly when AEW gets announced – suddenly she's in a title match with Ronda Rousey at the Royal Rumble. Of course, we knew she wasn't going to win, but still, getting a position of that out of, you know, it's suspect. You know what I mean? Like, suddenly you're giving Sasha and Bayley.
That's the part of the spectrum that I don't subscribe to 100%, right? So, like, the year, and I heard this, the parts where Bayley and Sasha melded in 2018, they didn't. Here's my thing, wrestling fans. What do we – it's only but so many titles. It's only but so much TV time despite all the damn TV time, right? So everybody can't be the man. And every wrestler don't – the problem with wrestling began a long time ago, and that's when they got rid of jobbers. Enhancement talent, I apologize, right? Enhancement talent needs to do their job. Every guy now, everybody sees everybody as that guy should be the guy. Everybody can't be the guy. But my man say and paid in full, everybody want to be the man just because, right? Just because. Everybody can't be the man just because. Some people, you got to know your role. You are enhancement talent. Your job is to be a good worker, and that's it. No one needs to – all these years people were complaining about Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. Who cares? Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder ain't moving nobody's needle if you push them or you didn't push them. I've never seen talent in those guys to be main event guys. Now, like you said, the Revival, they are what they were advertised to me. That was the best tag team probably that I've seen working together in a very long time. I throw names out there, but they clearly remind me of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. Okay, and I love how those guys work. Arn Anderson and Holy Anderson and those guys back in the day. I love how they work. And I give that a little bit. They came out, they complained, they got that. And you should, at WWE, should be a little, like as you said, nervous a little bit. Not scared, but a little, you know, my guys are leaving, guys are taking contracts. And also in one of the posts, the KME post, was a very good point, again, while I bring it to the program, is, and that's, guys should be running to the WWE when their contract is up, and they're not doing that now. But I stay by my statement, Jason. I get you back in here. I just don't think Kenny Omega was made for the WWE stage in the first place. Personally, I got Kenny Omega. His name is Seth Rollins. Just how I feel.
I don't know why you think Seth Rollins is better than Kenny Omega. They're not even the same type of wrestler. They're totally different.
I think in the squared circle, they are identical kind of talent, not the same as in identical spitting. They do the same kind of things, but what they can do in the ring, I think Seth Rollins is far and above better than Kenny Omega. But I think Kenny Omega is more allowed to be more in touch with his character than Seth Rollins. I will say that much. So when people say, oh, he's better than Kenny Omega, has free reign to do whatever the hell Kenny Omega wants to do. Right. And the last time, wrestling fans, I seen a company that let wrestlers run rush all over their company. Look what happened when the NWO ruined WCW. So now you have these guys, whether it's supposed to be kayfabe or whatever the case may be, their vice presidents, their exclusive presidents, their head of talent relations. Talent is talent for a reason. There's a reason why this business model has never worked long term in professional wrestling. Every talent that has run an organization has done one thing and one thing only through the history of wrestling promotions, and that's put themselves over at some point too much to the detriment of fans. So I say be careful when you have, as they say, the inmates running the asylum. I hope it's great. It needs to be great. I'm not saying I don't like Kenny Omega. I just put my premise up. I don't think he's, you know, the best in the world, as people say. I love Jericho. I love Hangman Page. Hangman Page should have went here because he needs to get a little bit more seasoned. But on his next contract, is like the NBA talk, or on that second-year deal after the rookie contract is over, Hangman should be leaving.
So well, I think Rollins is cool. I think Rollins is cool. He's one of the best performers in the world. The only real issue I've had with him, and really, since we're talking about fans, this is really another issue. I think Rollins is cool. The only issue I have with him, a lot of WWE dudes have this issue, and I don't really know whose fault it is. They're great in ring. They don't really have a character, though. Seth Rollins doesn't have a character. Not really. They have a bunch of names they call him. They call him the Kingslayer. They call him the Architect. But who is he? He doesn't really have a character. But because he's good in the ring, fans kind of give it a pass. I see a lot of that in WWE today. And that's
give me
kind
anybody
of the thing
who's
about
really a character
Rollins.
Today. Give me anybody. The majority of wrestlers today aren't really characters. They're who
and
they
WWE,
are. Kenny Omega,
and WWE, like, there's like a
Jay
handful
no
of people
character.
That are characters. There's like probably
Jay
like
White
maybe five
no
people.
There's a few, like I said, there's a few. Jay White,
yeah.
Switchblade really is no character. Kenny Omega really is no character. Cody Rhodes is really just Cody Rhodes. I mean, people are
Kenny's a character.
The WWE are,
he's the cleaner.
Who
is he cleans up.
He's okay, and Seth Rollins is the architect, and he burns it down by putting on great matches. Kind of.
What does that
thing,
mean,
right?
though? Burn what down? What does that mean?
What do you mean? First of all, people say he was talking about the establishment originally when he was talking about when he was going with Triple H. That's when it initially started. You know, you know, and I guess at that point, I guess it's manifested itself into in the ring. You know, tearing it up, burning up the ring. I don't effing know shit.
Oh,
you know,
like a metaphorical thing. No, I wasn't being sarcastic. I was like actually asking, like
no,
a metaphorical thing.
That
okay,
way. You made me think. I'm like, hell if I know. But let's go ahead and talk about Elimination Chamber and talk about that shortly after we talk about the news that happened last night. And this is not no dirt sheet news. This is real life, people. Okay, and what we saw take place this past 24 hours, and that's another wrestling relationship destroying a family. Anybody not surprised by this news or taking back like, oh, snap, Corey Graves is knocking off Carmella? The only thing about that news that was bothering to me was the fact of his wife and the words that she used in the in her Instagram post. If you, I'm trying to find it again right now. If you've missed
it's deleted.
It.
It's deleted.
No, no, I know it's gone. I saved it. But I saved it. It can't be gone. It's the internet. It's never gone forever. Okay? It's
yep.
never gone.
Never gone.
Forever. I just got to, well, I got to bring out my phone now. I thought, I'm looking at one of the groups I had there, but I definitely kept it in my phone. That's how you do things like that. And here it is. So we have right here. It's the words of this. First of all, it was definitely taken down. It says, this may totally blow me to do this, but I'm hurt. I'm sad. I put 11 years in supporting a man to accomplish his dreams, only for him to punch me in the gut. Not, you know, physically.
Mm.
But. I've been through suicide attempts, alcoholism, among so much more with this man and stuck by his side. The kicker is finding out that he's been sleeping with one of my daughter's role models all this time. Carmel and Corey, I hope you guys are happy. I really do. And then there was the text messages that went between the two couple because Corey, of course, what Corey do, saying that WWE is going to sue her and all this other kind of things that came out. And when a woman is scoring, she's scoring. Now, here's what stands out to me about this whole thing. She has every right to feel that way because men are pieces of shit. You really are. You spent, if you listen to the words she said, I stuck by you through all this stuff. And this is what dudes do, right? They get better, they get fine, they get in a line of life, and they go, and most kids you hear them say, well, I had a midlife crisis, right? But in their case, they're on the road 300 days a year with these people. It's the wrestling business. I know that today we're supposed to be more progressive and I shouldn't say things like this, but it's while we're here now, they're here because originally the girls were brought to keep the boys busy on the road. It's simple, guys. It's a traveling circus. I got to have my guys healthy, and I'd rather my guys have in-house than have to go out there and try to find out-house. That's why almost 80% of the wrestling business relationships are in the wrestling business together. Because they're on the road together all the time. Your thoughts on this, DJ?
I first and foremost, I'm actually really surprised that it's Carmella.
A little bit.
Only because if you listen to the way Graves speaks about certain female wrestlers, I would have thought it would probably been Mandy Rose. Because he goes crazy when she's on the screen. Yeah, I probably would have been more pissed off if it was Mandy Rose. So Carmella's fine. But I think every time that you say it, you know, the girls are bought on to keep the boys busy, I cringe because there's a lot of good guys on the surface that we see, like documentary-wise, backstage, that, you know, they actually, you know, they put their families first and, you know, they care about their families and then to see something like that, but like for him, for 11 years, and like you said, 300 days on the road, of course, it's like the, you know, once we, if you think about how much we spend time with our actual families at home and how much time we spend with people at work, there's 24 hours in a day, we're spending at least 8 to 10 at work. You come home, you're spending probably about 4 to 5 with your family, then you go to bed. And you get back and you do it again. You know what I'm saying? And the weekend is the only time that you really, really have that time when you're off. But most times it's really rare that, you know, both husband and wife get off with, you know, they got the kids. So I understand, you know, where you're coming from that aspect of the girl's supposed to keep the guys happy. But at the same time, if that is the actual thing, that's a really piece of shit type of move. Like,
yeah, like my man said it to me like 10 years ago. But think about it. Think about it, right? Now, we're not talking about what we are today with women's wrestling, right? Even go back to the Diva search. Really? Why are you bringing in 40 women? I got all these guys, right? I don't want them in trouble. What's the best way to keep it down? Now, I'm not trying to make fun of the lighter joke of what happened with the fantasy, because I do think from how, the words she used, she's completely hurt. And I, you know, I'm a guy who's in love with his wife, so I just think it's an asshole thing to do. You know what I mean? But, you know, some things, like I was telling my wife, if I was a basketball player, for instance, right? Yeah, it comes with territory, babe. I'm going to knock somebody off. You know what I'm saying? It's the nature of the beast, you know? It's not what my man say in loving basketball, and that one that gets past security that's so bold, he's in your bed. And you're, so many times, right? Like, damn. You know what I'm saying? It's just, just trying not to get no diseases and trying not to get pregnant. This goes back, like, go back to Bite This, right? I mean, y'all remember that Live Wire episode? Come on, Lita and Matt Hardy. Like, this has gone on repeatedly from Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle and Stone Cold. And, I mean, if you want to talk Chris Benoit situation, if you're not afraid of that, and to dive deep into what I think is reality, it's so much in wrestling business. Macho Man and Elizabeth, it just goes on and on and on and on again. This is the business that you're in, and it's just sad. But damn, Corey Graves and Carmella, I did not see that one coming. Also, match of the God, before we get into Elimination Chamber, if you are Randy Orton, cough, because I say this much, Randy Orton has nothing to prove. And in my closet, I have a Legacy shirt and a Legacy hat. That's all I'm going to say. I love Legacy. I thought Legacy was a completely underrated faction. And he has the money. What else does Randy Orton need but to go out here and get back the heart and love of wrestling? Wrestling fans respect Randy Orton. They love him, but he's you know, that's how you feel, because he's just done it for so long, and what he's just there. Let him go do the things that we know he can do inside that square circle with some of these other guys and be what they're supposed to be in WWE, and that's be the legends are supposed to help the younger guys. Randy Orton can help that promotion. No more Randy Orton, no Orton and Jericho. They don't ever have to ever see each other. But everything else, over there, if I'm Randy Orton and this offer is on the table and it's real, I'm taking it, Toph. What would you do?
Yeah, pretty much. There's really nothing else for him to do. He's done everything he can possibly do there. He's been face, heel. He's won every title he can possibly win. Really, the issue I always have with being the youngest anything, like, you know, you've always said it yourself, Knox, like, wrestling is storyline. And in storyline, the highest accomplishment you can achieve is to be the world champion. And so when you're the youngest world champion, it's almost as if, like, you peak early. Like, you won the top title you could possibly win at a really early age. It's like, what else do you do? You know, Randy Orton, he's very bipolar with fans. I think that, like, fans know how good he is, but Randy just goes through these phases. He's go through these phases. Wait, I know it's been a long time on your show. Or do you have profanity on your show or no? No profanity?
Right about now we do. Sometimes I try not to, you know, go too far.
I'll keep it PG then. Like, Randy will go through these phases where you can just tell, like, he just does not give a, he just doesn't care.
I help you out. He melts the shit in sometimes. Yes, that's
right.
That's
right. He does.
He's done it all.
Right, but he's really good. I remember like when Batista came back recently, when they did the whole Evolution reunion. And, you know, Batista was talking about how, like, Randy had more talent on one finger than most people had in their body. And the crowd reaction was kind of like, yeah. And I was like, obviously, clearly, he was referring to Legend Killer Orton back then when he really put work in, you know, because Orton in recent years is inconsistent. But, yeah, I agree with you. Randy doesn't really have anything to accomplish. And I think that WWE has so much talent now, I don't think they need him anymore. I think they needed him, like, say, in 2015, 2014, but like at this point in time, I don't think that they really need him anymore.
Don't get me wrong. If you're WWE, you got to keep him. But see, this is where Vince, you want to, old dogs have new tricks, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks, they say, right? Because Vince isn't getting progressive. And that's saying, let me give AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan some more. Let me give my top guys more fucking time off. Right? You give your guys more fucking time off, Vince, right? Because I'm not a guy who needs to see, you know, we had this conversation. I don't care if Brock Lesnar's on TV every week. I don't care, people. It's stupid to me. I don't care. I don't need to see Brock every week. I don't care if he's a champion. I don't need to see him every week. I'm gonna always stay in my argument of saying Vacant HH was never on TV every single week when I was growing up watching the stars and challenge. He wasn't. I said it, damn. He wasn't on TV every week. You know what I mean? So I don't understand that need for that. You're big time. When I want somebody to tell me how many times more than not Brock never delivered. Brock delivers damn near every time he's in the ring. Every time he's in the ring, he delivers. So some of these guys, Vince, give him time off like you give Brock Lesnar time off, and these guys will do a hell of a job. The question
I don't know about delivering every time. That's not accurate there.
I said the most of the time. I said about 80%.
Okay.
And I go more than 80.
Okay.
People's biggest thing they probably say is, oh, that WrestleMania 20 match. I don't blame them. Fans 100% screwed that match.
I give Brock 70-30.
That match.
I say 70-30.
Tell me when you've seen Brock Millen in. I can't remember.
He never cared
about
Braun Strowman. All his matches with Strowman were horrible. He didn't care about Dean Ambrose. His match with Randy Orton was bad. All those matches happened within the past 3 years. But when he fights a smaller guy like a Finn Balor, a Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, he puts work in. Brock has found a formula. He puts work in against a smaller guy. It's a very entertaining match. But when he fights a guy the same size as him or a middleweight, it's like 50-50. He does not care about Braun Strowman. He did not care about Dean Ambrose. That first match of Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, what was it, 31? That first match was good. Every other match they had, garbage. Garbage.
See, Roman Reigns has never had a garbage match to me. So from there, I'll just let that one go.
Okay.
but that's just me. I'm a Roman mark. So what do I know accurately besides my feelings? Damn, it's building me, damn it. Okay. But Elimination Chamber matches tonight, guys. Matches that no one gives a crap to see. No disqualification match, Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. I personally just told y'all that he was. Everybody wanted Braun Strowman as your champion, right? Sorry, guys. I never saw it in him. Jimmy Uso gets arrested. What will WWE do with them now?
Yeah, there's a story that they're trying to get fired.
They're trying to get fired.
Yeah, that's the story.
I don't believe that for Nathan, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. And this is, I don't know them personally. So people who think because I'm cool with their dad, I don't know nothing. This is just what I've always had a feeling for. There's certain people in the company, they're just who they are. When I mean that, I mean saying company guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, it's just, they're happy with the life. It's just the life they have. Is it wrong to be maybe content? Can be a word to place in there. I don't buy that. I don't buy that whole, you know, that whole. I don't buy that. I just don't. If I'm wrong, it won't be the first nor the last. I just, as of now, don't buy that. And hope. I'm always going to hope that the number one company in the world of professional wrestling can fix itself. It's why we watch wrestling. We hope it gets better. This is why the hype for AEW is there. Because the company that everybody wants and thinks and knows it can be great isn't great anymore. They have the potential to be great. NXT is absolutely amazing. But the main roster is not. So that's what we hope. And that's why this time of year, I just go, it's WrestleMania season. I don't give a shit. They got new t-shirts and the same color as AEW. Maybe that pissed them off. Damn, Vince, you're going to just use us like that in Black History Month? Yeah, you're not black. You're Samoan. Well, there you go. But the tag team titles tonight, the Usos, before this incident, though, I'm not going to lie to you. I was coming into this before. What this happened? Wednesday night? Right? Or Tuesday after SmackDown in Detroit, right? So we found out about this early Wednesday. So leaving after SmackDown on Tuesday, I was like, Usos win the titles. Because they got to do something with this Shane and Miz. Miz and Shane got to break up somewhere. So I thought the Usos would get it, but now I don't know. But we're playing particular pick matches, so give me the Usos to still win this match. And this is where we see the distinction of, nope, I'm wrong. Miz and them will win the titles. Usos will get them at Fastlane. Who you got winning this match, DJ?
I agree 100%. It's probably going to be the manner that they take the L is going to probably be really cheap or humiliating. And, you know, WWE tends to do that to, you know, hey,
punishment.
Don't you be fucking up no more. Yeah, so I think it's going to be in that aspect, but I definitely agree. This is just a small, slow burn. I honestly, now that you say Fastlane is, you know, you still have that.
Yeah.
I don't even see the Usos winning before, you know, before, you know.
No, I don't think they give them to Fastlane.
Before Mania. They're going
because
to win.
Because with Fastlane, you got 3 weeks to set up something with Shane and them. Like, you could have distinction going and then in 3 weeks build that, I think. It's Miz and Shane. Like, you know, I don't
so
even
we
care.
Know
even
we know we're getting Shane and, yeah. We know we're getting Miz, Shane and Miz
right.
at Mania. We know.
In
that's been a slow building
right.
thing for, you know, at least 7 months. It's been slow burning. So I'm fine with that. Honestly,
Damn.
I hope this is Shane McMahon's last WrestleMania.
Wow.
I'm done with Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
I won't say that I'm done. I'm like my wife. It's like, here's the problem with WWE. They bring somebody back. You're like, yes, that's cool. Damn it, you keep going? Like, you're still
the,
here?
The problem, here's the problem, man. The problem is this. This is just an awkward elephant in the room. It's the biggest elephant ever. When Shane came back to WWE, there was only one match that made sense. And I've noticed this. It's very strange. They're rarely on TV together. They rarely acknowledge each other, probably because there's real-life tension, and that's Triple H and Shane. That's the only match that makes sense. It's the only match that makes sense. He's the real-life son of Vince McMahon. Therefore, legally, when Vince passes away or, you know, steps down, on paper, it should go to Shane. But no, he left. Then Triple H married Stephanie, and he's like, you know, the son-in-law, and he's got the NXT.
He's the son Vince never had, damn it.
Right. He says, it makes sense. And it's weird because since Shane has come back, they rarely acknowledge each other. Shane rarely acknowledges Triple H. Triple H rarely acknowledges Shane. They rarely are even on the same segment together. I remember, like, when they had the Survivor Series match a few years ago, I was excited because I thought they were going to set it up. They were, like, in the ring only once the whole match, and that was the finish. Triple H had the pedigree on them, and that was it. And I think – I forgot who it was. I think Shane was interviewed. I think it was Mick Foley or Steve Austin. He was on one of their podcasts. I forgot which one it was. And they asked Shane straight up, how do you feel about Triple H? And I know you're going to relate to this, Knox. Shane said, like, he told Triple H to F off in the nicest way possible. When they asked how he felt about Triple H, all he said was, he makes my sister happy. And anyone who's got a sister or a brother knows exactly what that means. That means you don't care about this person, but as long as they keep my family happy, we're cool. We're good.
Yep.
It's the only match that makes sense because it's real. It's real. And there has to be real tension there. But for whatever reason, they just refuse to do it. But instead what they'll do is they'll have Shane have random matches against AJ 1 year, Owens and Zayn 1 year, and now Miz this year. It's like it's the only match that makes sense. It's actual money, and my worst fear is what's going to happen. And I don't wish death on anyone. I hope everyone lives a very long, prosperous life. But my worst fear is that when Vince McMahon does get, you know, sick one day, you know, when that time comes, I feel like they're going to wait till that time to, you know, finally use that story. And I'm like, no, do the story now while Vince is alive. That'll be interesting, you know? It's like Game of Thrones.
Let's not talk about that. Vince is the greatest promoter in wrestling history, and I just think he stayed around 10 years too long. I think he should have been passed it to Shane or Stephanie or Triple H 10 years ago. And that's just how I feel. I think I talk to Dice Man pretty much every day. And he will tell you, people out who only hear me, and you guys hear my podcast or hear my radio show on Fox Sports, I'm old school. I'm very opinionated about, and I'm stuck in my ways about certain things when it comes to LeBron can never be the GOAT, just to throw a conversation out there, but just because we perceive that he's too soft and that he cannot be hard all the time, because that's the era I grew up in, that you had to be a badass, take no shit from a person 24/7. Vince McMahon needs to step away because the wrestling business has passed him by. And if he cannot hear the pulse of the wrestling fans that have made his company what it is today, who have brought their kids in to make it what it is today, because if you love it, you pass it to your kids. If your kids love it from you loving it, they pass it to their kids. And that's how any business or show business continues to thrive. And look at NXT. It never undersells. It never underdelivers. And it's all about wrestling on that program. Next match on the card. Well, who you got? You didn't say who you had there, Toph. So you taking who you winning that match?
I guess, after what happened, you know, this past weekend, I think that Shane and Miz are going to win there, and the story will continue. And I guess sort of to end things there, I'm not really convinced that fans are really that into the whole Shane Miz thing. I heard some rumors that they might have Shane turn. But they tried Miz as a face before. It flopped. They tried that before, like in 2012. That didn't work
well.
It
didn't flop. Fans just like Miz. So it didn't flop. It's just like you a true heel, because no one ever liked him in the first place. We ended up loving him because of not liking him, right? He's one of those kind of guys. Like, no one set out and said, oh, I love Bobby to bring Heenan. Over the years, you're like, yo, Bobby's the man. But he annoyed you. That was his job. So when it comes like when fans like you, you can't go nowhere. It's like Daniel Bryan. Like you, he's the biggest face to me, the biggest heel now in the company. But let's talk about to me who I think is the best wrestler in the company that doesn't get any notification. Buddy Murphy versus Tozawa. I cannot to see this match on the pre-show. Who you got winning this match? I got Buddy Murphy, the best wrestler in the company right now. Dice.
I'm going to have to agree. I don't know about best wrestler in the company, but I do agree that he'll probably win this match. Tozawa, I don't know what they're trying to do with him. Like, they build him up, break him down, build him up, break him down. And it's just he Buddy's going to go into WrestleMania season with the momentum of a crazy person. And who are they going to get to, you know, go against him at Mania? I think that's the actual big question, not if, you know, he's going to retain against Tozawa, because I don't think that's a question at all, but I think he definitely retains.
Just to move on, Toph, Intercontinental Championship match, Lashley and Lio Rush taking on Finn Balor. I'm all in on Bobby Lashley, guys. This is, I know I wasn't the TNA fan of Bobby Lashley. Some of you guys keep telling me I missed that run of Bobby Lashley. I just have to miss it. I'm a huge Balor guy. But I love Lio Rush and what he's done. I like, but I don't like, you know, how they do this, whatever. Beat up the little white guy. I don't care. It's Black History Month. Give me Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush to be famous. Hey, it's the truth. Listen, every Black History Month, one black wrestler gets over overly too much, right? It happens every year. Listen, I have been raised off the respect of Martin Luther King. But damn it, WWE, there has been more to Black History Month than Martin Luther the King and Malcolm X. That's all I'm saying, people. There's more to Black History, WWE. So I don't care. Let these two black guys beat my boy Finn Balor's ass. It's a non, you know, this pay-per-view is only for two. This pay-per-view is for two things, people. For two things only. That's the tag team titles and the SmackDown titles. Everything else is just here, okay?
Yep.
But it's still a story. I will watch it. Who you got winning this match, Toph? Do I have to even ask?
It's a handicap match, right?
Balor might win now. Just because of the handicap match. The way wrestling thinks. But it's Black History Month. I'm still going last, and Leo.
Right, so two black dudes are going to beat up an Irish
white
guy.
Small Irish white guy. Well, Vince is Irish.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, obviously, this feud's going to continue, but I can't even say that they're going to win. I could see it like being a DQ or, I mean, that's just
something,
dumb.
Right? They retain. How about that? They retain the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
There we go, Dice. Dice, I get one before I move on. Come on, let me get it. Come on. You already know what I want.
You know I'm going. I'm going. My man, Bobby Lashley. Nobody in here looks like you, Bobby. Give him the pose. Show him the muscles.
I'm posing.
That's what I like.
Hey, shout outs. I wish I want to get one blind tag. I wish WWE would stop teasing. If you're going to have Lashley act like Captain Ginyu, just give him the Ginyu Force. Just get a whole pose squad. Give me Titus. Get Cedric. What's Cedric doing? Cedric lost the Cruiserweight title. Put Cedric with him. Just make a Ginyu Force squad. Just go all out. Don't half-ass it, man. Give me a full Ginyu Force Lashley squad. It will be over. Remember the New Day? They came out as the Ginyu Force at WrestleMania 32. That was hot, man.
When Lashley had that podium and was posing, I actually loved that segment of Raw. Sorry, guys. I did.
That's my favorite Bobby Lashley moment.
I love that moment. Now, real fast, guys, we got about 10 minutes left in the program. I want to talk about you a little bit probably in depth, and this is the Women's Championship match, Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott. Now, I don't think Ruby Riott wins the title here. I just don't think that. I think this is just another match for Ronda to get some work in. I don't think Ronda's leaving the company. We talked about that before on previous shows that I've had. But what I will say about this is, and this is wrestling fans, this is why I thought Raw was fire this past week. I did love Raw. I did love SmackDown. And I thought what Vince McMahon them did was perfect. It's not a secret, and she's not the greatest. She's learning. She's very good at what she's learning, but she's not as seasoned. To take 100% of the heat off of Ronda Rousey from the fans, which is unwarranted, and put it on Charlotte Flair was a stroke of genius. It was a stroke. And now people say, oh, you could have did this scenario. You could have did that scenario. No, people, the biggest scenario to use for Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair is the fact that Ronda Rousey is that damn good. Becky Lynch is not better than Charlotte Flair, but fans love her. They cannot have another Daniel Bryan situation on their hands. So how do you do that? You give the fans what they want. She's going to win the title at WrestleMania. Brother. I don't think she deserves to win the title at WrestleMania. Personally, back to me, Becky Lynch. She doesn't. The best woman wrestler of all time to me is Charlotte Flair. Point blank, hands down. I don't think she's better than Ronda Rousey, and she's better than Becky Lynch in every aspect of professional wrestling to me. Becky,
well, let me
has
ask you this, Mike.
Every damn go on the microphone, though. Yes.
Who do you think, going back from the start of the new WWE season, you know, the Monday after Raw, till you know, going into WrestleMania this year, who do you think has had a much better year?
No one.
Charlotte or Becky?
No, but Becky has had a better year. But again, you know how when fans say, "Oh, that person's been
title to." She's worked her ass off that whole year. There's no,
if you go by storyline, though, she cheated her way to get in there. She lost at the Royal Rumble by tapping out to Asuka, and then she stole Lana's spot in the Royal Rumble. But yeah, we just give her a title shot because.
I mean, what if?
I'm just saying.
If,
and the Laura storyline, but I like what they're doing, though, Dice. I do like what they're doing. I like the fact she's just been there for 6 days. She's going to come back. Let me just finish this point because I was getting there, and I'll let you go. Let me finish this point. This is all going to be set up for Ric Flair's birthday party that they've been celebrating and advertising for 3 weeks. Becky Lynch is going to come back. She's going to do something, and Charlotte's going. She's going to do something so bad to Rick or so bad to Charlotte to embarrass the Flair family. It's going to be the triple threat match, and it should be a triple threat match because they cannot afford for people all of a sudden to start hating Ronda Rousey for no reason when you just start cheering her just because you love Becky. Wrestling fans, you can cheer for your person and not put down the other person because you bury that person. There's no reason to bury Ronda Rousey. There's no reason to bury Charlotte Flair for Becky Lynch when she's getting completely over. That's the only got there, guys. Go ahead.
I think that just because of wrestling-wise, I would agree that, you know, Charlotte is at the top of the tier. You know, she's at the top of the tier. I am a technical wrestler, so I would say, you know, Natty could probably give her the best run for her money. I love her style. But as far as character and pure storyline fashion, there's nobody women's wrestling-wise this year who's had a better year than Becky Lynch. We all know that Becky can go, but she never had the character. Like that, you know, even she came out with the stupid freaking goggles and the fog machine. Yeah, like, it was a good crowd person, but, like, at the end of the day, her character was bland. It was tasteless. Mm-hmm. And you give her a little bit of edge, fans are starting to realize, hey, she really is good. So you reward her because she worked her ass off. Yeah. I don't see – me personally, I'm not a fan of Charlotte Flair's character. I'm a fan of her wrestling, not her character. I haven't had that thing that makes me say,
her character's
yes,
like her
Charlotte.
Dad.
That's
dad.
Why Bailey fizzled out. I'm glad you guys mentioned that. I can't say who's the best and who's the worst, but – of the four horsewomen, I've always thought off day one that Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte all had edges and layers to their character. Bailey didn't.
Absolutely.
I always thought that Bailey was one note.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Remember, they teased that a little bit earlier this year when, you know, they were going to have Sasha versus Bailey.
So they're going to
get those belts, and they're going to fall apart. And this is where we're going to see.
Well, hold on. Good segue. And time is running short. Everybody thinks Ronda Rousey wins, right? All right, moving on. So the tag team titles, or women's tag team titles, I'm sorry. You have – pick your people. Listen, right now, I know what you're going to say, Dave, so I'm not going to say it on air. Let you say it. I got Tamina and Nia Jax winning the titles. If not Tamina and Nia Jax winning the titles, then I think these titles are made for – Mandy, and my girl. That's just me. That's my second pick. I would go with Nia Jax first, and Tamina. If not, Mandy and Sonya Deville win. Who you got in this one, Dice?
I am a firm believer that this whole tag team thing was made for a couple of people. One, Absolution. I do believe that that was made for them, and I do believe it was made for the Riot Squad. Whether Ruby gets in it, I mean, it's Sarah Logan and, you know, Liv Morgan. I don't think that inclusion of Riot Squad wins the titles. But if Ruby was in it, I would have Riot Squad. However, I'm going to go with Becky and Sasha But I really believe that one of, like, those teams that have been coming up that are not like the big household names, I believe these titles were made for them because they do work their asses off. And it's the fact that they're not in a title picture and people think, oh, they suck. No, Riot Squad is really good. They are what they are supposed to be, a cohesive unit that they're heels and they cheat to win, they cheat to get over, and it gets under people's skin. And that's what exactly what they're supposed to do. So I think that somehow, some way, Ruby will play a factor in those tag titles. And I think you said also about
May 4th, I think the Iconics are made for it as well. Like, there's just certain, like you're saying, you maybe think about like groups that are just like made to, they've been together, they've stayed together, they've
absolutely
done everything together like a tag team's supposed to do. I definitely give you that one. How you got this one going, Toph? Who's your pick for the women's, not first ever, tag team champion?
Right. Thank you for putting emphasis on that. Either Sasha and Bayley win it here or they win it at WrestleMania. These belts were made
for
them.
That's why I say they win. That's why I say they win it. That's why you have to have a WrestleMania payoff. And that's where I think Sasha and them can have their moment, because they're not going to get their moment in the number one matches right now with Ronda and Becky and Charlotte. So that's where I think they win the match. So tonight, I definitely got who I said before, Nia Jackson, Tamina. Now, the world champion, the real
Tamina hasn't won anything, period.
Nothing. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe. Listen, I'm going to say this, because it's what it is, and I'm not afraid to say it, y'all. You two can laugh, talk about me later behind my back. I don't give a shit. I love Samoa Joe. This man's promos, he's the MVP. This man is the greatest. Everything he does with that microphone is so damn good that when your wife turns around and goes, is that The Rock talking? And she goes, I knew it had to be Samoan.
Just now on this train.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, man. I've always respected him. I've always seen him wrestle. Don't get me wrong. I just never saw. I've always said the same thing. And Toph, you've been around for a while in my talk show. I said, I love talent, but to me, I want to come here and see you do the other thing. And now I'm seeing that he can do the other thing. And that's the same thing with AJ Styles. I didn't believe the hype of AJ until I saw him on the microphone here in the WWE. I didn't see these skills in TNA on the microphone and stuff like that. And I didn't catch the whole 100% Bullet Club run in New Japan. So I'm not going to be one of them guys in line and say, oh, yeah, I watched all the Bullet Club. No, that's a lie. I did. Okay. That's Samoa Joe. That's a bad motherfucker. Shut your mouth. Now, win it real fast. Daniel Bryan wins the title. It's simple. I want to say something else, but Dice said earlier today, which pissed me off, they just gave this man a brand new wooden title. He ain't losing. Okay.
Yeah, he's
so,
not losing.
With that being said, though, I would not be against them letting Kofi Kingston get the title and lose Tuesday. I don't give a shit. He could lose in Fastlane. I don't care. Be a transitional champion in Black History Month, and I love what he said against AJ Styles in the ring on SmackDown on Tuesday. I've waited 7 years for this.
What he said was, I mean, the run that he's gotten on SmackDown in that gauntlet apparently was supposed to be for Mustafa Ali. However, yeah. I am a firm believer that this is the mark, the beginning of the reincarnation of Kofi Kingston, the singles competitor. And he will win something this year.
I don't think it was for Mustafa Ali, though. I heard those same things like that. It's so much in the wrestling world that –
Here's what you can do, and we're running out of time, so I'll just go through this really quickly. Regardless of what happens, Kofi got a pinfall victory on the WWE champion, and so that amounts to, at some point, getting a titles match. So because of that, Kofi doesn't have to win here. So if I was booking, here's what I do. You ban Rowan from ringside. You have Harper come back. Harper, he's been MIA for a bit. Harper interferes. He helps Bryan retain. And then for Fastlane, do New Day versus Bryan, Rowan, Harper, with the stipulation being if New Day wins, a New Day member gets a title shot at WrestleMania. New Day beats them. Then at WrestleMania, you do Kofi versus Bryan with the New Day in Kofi's corner and Rowan and Harper in Bryan's corner. And actually, if you recall, the New Day had a feud with Rowan and Harper for the tag titles at the tail end of last year. So there's already a feud there.
I'm a cut y'all because time is up. I like that. And then it gives me credence to my walk of Shawn Michaels versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. That's the only way that can happen if you get AJ out of the title picture, guys. Listen, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow for Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, Solon Sports. And tomorrow morning, my WWE Elimination Chamber review. Facebook Live, YouTube. See you then, y'all. We out of here. Peace.
Peace.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday night. That's a